On show 440, a new EV tax credit's been proposed. The Kona price goes up, and Infiniti to launch their first EV. Those stories and many, many more coming up on today's podcast. Hello, it's Martin Lee here. Well, good morning, good afternoon and good evening. In fact, wherever you are in the world, welcome to the show. Thursday, 11th of April edition. I've been through all the blogs, all the stories. I've got my Google alerts set up. I've looked at all the EV stories around today, and these are the ones, I think, the biggest ones you need to know about. To save you time, save you hours surfing around, in 20 minutes, we'll give you a big hit of EV news. Thank you to myev.com, as always, for supporting this show. Funnily enough, I mentioned them, but Phil Roberts is one of our supporters. His company is EF.energy, by the way. Phil's been supporting this show for a very long time, and I saw today that he is putting up for sale his Nissan Leaf. Lovely, gone black as well. Nice. Looks great. 40 kilowatt hour Leaf. He's making a change. Just fancies a change of EV. He is going Kia e-Niro, by the way, and so he had to put his Leaf up for sale in all the usual places here in the UK, because of course we don't have myev.com, and even messaged me to say, "God, have a word, wish I could have used it." All right, I'll have a word. Let's kick off the news then, and we'll start with this, a big bit of breaking news as we come in to record the show today. A conglomeration of bipartisan US lawmakers want to extend the current federal EV tax credit to 400,000 cars produced. Well, currently the credit begins at to sunset, if you like, the taper down. At 200,000 sold in the US, the current situation works to hinder automakers, those that have invested early, like Tesla, like GM. They've worked hard to produce and promote EVs. Meanwhile, those that have dragged their heels and been slow to adopt, they've got a bit of an unfair edge, you could say. InsideEVs.com today says the new bill, the Driving America Forward Act, would work to add an additional 400,000 EVs on top of the current automakers' 200,000 on the previous program. However, it would then lessen the phase-out period to 9 months rather than 12 to 15. Still, the bill would allow hardcore players like Tesla, like GM, even Nissan, by the way, with the Leaf in the US, to take advantage during that time. In the current situation, other automakers are only just starting to catch up. One of the foreign commenters on InsideEVs.com says, his name is K-Dawg, K-D-A-W-G, K-Dawg, says this: instead of adding 400,000 units per manufacturer, they should set an overall limit for the total cars with the plug sold. And I love that, because rather than each individual automaker getting their own allowance, say you set the limit to 2 million, right? 2 million EVs, 3 million EVs, 4 million plug-in cars. It would focus the minds somewhat of the other automakers that if they want to sell any and for their customers to get a full federal tax credit, they better start selling them. And of course, it would, you would say, those that have made the investment early, GM and Nissan and Tesla, they could hopefully dial up some sales, maybe at the expense of other markets. Or I don't know how it would work, but if you're talking about a total number of EVs sold across all automakers, there is an incentive there to, you know, actually sell some. Well, the Reuters report, which broke all of this news, said that GM and Tesla shares rose on the Reuters report that the bill would be introduced. Tesla shares recently traded up 1%, GM was up 0.2%. The proposal has strong backing from the automakers, the environmental groups, and many others as well, but it will face opposition. Last month, the White House proposed immediately eliminating the $7,500 tax credit, a move it said would save the US government $2.5 billion over the next 10 years. Senator John Barroso, a Republican who chairs the Environment and Public Works Committee, back in February proposed legislation to end the credit completely and impose a highway user fee on EVs to pay for road repairs. I'll throw a couple of links down in the show notes if you want to read more. Staying with Tesla, sales reports from Switzerland have revealed that the Model 3 was the country's number one selling car in March 2019. And in case you think I misspoke there, and you're probably thinking to yourself, oh, you know, what he meant to say is it was the number one EV in Switzerland. Yeah, no, it was the number one car in Switzerland. It was the very first time an all-electric vehicle was able to top the country sales charts. It includes vehicles powered by internal combustion engines. Says Simon at the brilliant Teslarati website, Tesla sold 1,094 units of the Model 3 in Switzerland in March alone. As indicated by the numbers of sales statistics, the site is called Auto Schweiz. The Model 3 figures were about 27% higher than the second ranking vehicle. That was the ever popular Skoda Octavia, which sold 801 units in March. The Model 3's feat represented significant milestones for the Silicon Valley-based automaker, and it was able to achieve a record market share of 4.3% in Switzerland's auto market. They are impressive figures, especially since deliveries of the Model 3 didn't start at the beginning of the quarter. They started in February. That is particularly impressive. I'm not sure what incentives Switzerland has going, if any. Obviously a very affluent country. Many millionaires decide to relocate there for, you know, various reasons. And so I don't know what they have going on in Switzerland. I will look into it. Oh, talking incentives, by the way, something that I misspoke yesterday on the podcast. I think that's politician speak for I got it wrong, but they'll never admit to getting anything wrong. So politicians will say I misspoke. And I said yesterday, you don't even have to own in this country in the UK. Haven't even got to own an EV yourself to have a charger put in to claim for the grant. Get one put on your house if you don't own an EV. What I should have said, clarified, you don't have to be the owner. So if you lease one, if you don't own it, you lease one. But even if you have like a long-term rental, I think it's maybe a month or more. I should have actually fact-checked that before I have to do a double clarification tomorrow. But if you even have one for a long term, I think maybe a three-month rental or something, you are classed as the keeper of the car at the time. So you haven't got to own the car. But yeah, it's not as if you... Because there's a list of cars here in the UK, which you have to... Say, you know, I've got this one, please put a charger on my house, and then you get basically the free charger. There's a small amount to pay, depending on what electrician you choose. So there you go, that clears that one up. Let's talk about the Model S being chopped in half and having a rear end put on. A couple of people have done that. There's a company here in the UK, in Norfolk, actually, where I'm from East Anglia. I'm a Norfolk boy, I am. And they've done an amazing job with the Model S, right? I just said right because I'm thinking of Norfolk. That's how many of my relatives speak, by the way. I don't have the Norfolk accent. However, there is a company that's done exactly the same, but so far the pictures we've seen rather less sympathetically. Inside EVs has the details on, I can only describe it as a Frankenstein motorhome, and I don't want to be mean to anyone. The mastermind behind the project is a man called Travis Rabenberg, and you might expect his build to incorporate Tesla's Model S, X SUV rather. If you're going to build a motorhome, start with a biggie, but he hasn't. He started with the Model S. He's chosen a P90D. Rabenberg called it the Tesla Roma, like a Roma home. Check out the pictures on Inside EVs. What they've done is they've cut off the rear back half of the car and they've added a living space. Now the picture online, I don't know whether it's an accurate representation, it looks like they've put a garden shed on the back of a car. I thought it was 1st of April, but it's definitely no April Fool. There's a pop-up roof, there's a bed inside it, there's provisions for water and a sink and a toilet also included. It looks like you can stand up inside the thing. And since you can't have an electric motorhome without solar power, the Tesla Roma incorporates solar panels with the ability to generate 1,000 watts of juice. It just doesn't look aerodynamic, as if you can imagine a shed on the back of a car wouldn't be the least draggy thing. Check out the pics. I'll put Inside EV's link in the show notes. Let's go to China now. You know I love talking about China because no one else is, and yet it's an EV powerhouse. Chinese electric vehicle makers have proliferated in recent years. Dozens have been sketching ambitious plans to enter the market. Some of the top competitors have spent, well, millions, frankly, showcasing their products. Places like CES to get all the glitzy glamour. But one hasn't. They're called Bordrin, B-O-R-D-R-A-N. Bordrin Motor Company, Corporation rather, on the other hand, have been keeping very quiet. Says Automotive News China, since its founding 3 years ago, the former Ford senior engineer, Qiming Huang, at Bordrin, they've concentrated on building cars. The results of the first efforts will be seen by outsiders for the very first time. Maybe by the time you listen to this, you've seen it. This week, the company will unveil its first production model. It's called the B31. It's an SUV in the premium segment concept that we hear is feasible for them to go into. The debut takes place today, Thursday, April 11, at a company event. It's before the Shanghai Auto Show, which sees the public getting involved from April 16th. Let's talk about the Hyundai Kona. Not about dealer price gouging this time, but instead Hyundai have genuinely and quietly raised the price. The manufacturer's recommended price for the Kona Electric. According to Stephen Loveday, he's written an article for InsideEVs.com, which says that the Hyundai Kona's electric price has only kind of gone up by not too much, $500. It may make no difference in the end because, frankly, that's the price that they suggest that their dealers sell it at. Now, it's not such a common practice here in the UK. However, dealers in the US set their own prices, and that, of course, that means they can go down, but they can go up. Some are charging a premium because the Kona is so popular. It could mean that the Kona Electric becomes even more expensive, or it could have no impact on the prices at all. The quiet move by Hyundai comes on the heels of GM's federal tax credit halving. Let's move on to a story that's centred in Austria and back in Switzerland, funnily enough. The national postal companies Swiss Post and the Austrian Post have committed today to fully electrifying their entire delivery fleets by the year 2030. Well, the announcement comes as they join up to EV100. It's an EV initiative led by a non-profit climate group, reports Ryan Austin for Charged EVs today. To join EV100, companies must make public commitments to integrate EVs into their service fleets or do things like install EV chargers on their premises for their staff, for their customers. Now, as part of its pledge, Austrian Post is set to switch more than 9,000 vehicles to electric. Post CH, which is a subsidiary of Swiss Post, also said it's going to switch more vehicles, 10,000 vehicles in this case, to electric as part of their pledge. The company has already electrified its delivery fleet of three-wheelers. There's 6,000 of those. They're all EV. It now plans to switch 4,600 vans. They are up to about 3.5 tons and 180 service vehicles to pure EV by 2030. Whenever I hear these announcements, I congratulate them, and I always say, I reckon it'll be sooner. They've given themselves 11 years, I'll give it 3 or 4. Finally, let's talk about Infiniti today. And a Reuters report that's shown up on Autoblog says the first electric car for Nissan's premium brand, Infiniti, a bit like Lexus is to Toyota, is going to be a sporty sedan, and it's going to be based and produced in China. The Japanese car maker said in a statement which has been seen by Reuters ahead of a public announcement expected soon, maybe even next Wednesday, the vehicle would hit the market in about 3 years' time. Consumers can get a taste of what they are thinking. The concept car is dubbed the QS, or the QS Inspiration, all-electric sedan at the Shanghai Auto Show late next week, Nissan officials said. Well, brand officials have said that from 2021, every Infiniti model launched will be either all-electric or e-power hybrid, underlining Nissan's previously announced plans to make Infiniti primarily an electrified offering. And if you are new to the podcast, if you've never heard one of the episodes that I talk about e-power, I always like to just put a little note of caution on e-power. By the way, enormously successful for Nissan. The Nissan e-power technology has really captured imaginations, and it seems to fit into people's lives, but it's nothing more than using a gas engine as a generator. E-power does sound quite fancy, and they call them hybrids, but they're really not, because they don't have a plug. And if an EV doesn't have a plug, it can't call itself an EV. It might be electrified, but there's no such thing as an electric car unless it has a plug. Unless you can put clean green electrons into it, it's not an EV. So all this is a combustion engine. If you don't know, by the way, e-power is a combustion engine, and that runs to generate electricity like a generator would. So it generates electricity. There's a tiny, tiny battery, sort of around 1 kilowatt hour, maybe smaller, maybe larger, but definitely not. It's around that, within margin of error, about maybe 1.5 kilowatt hour battery. It charges that. That then stores just enough energy to power the car. In many ways, it's what hydrogen cars are all about. All hydrogen does is store hydrogen, then it creates electricity, then it stores it in a small battery, then the battery drives an electric motor. If you're going to have a battery, have a big one, because prices are going down so quickly and batteries are getting so much more efficient and technology's improving as well. So there are benefits to this, because the internal combustion engine, when it works as a generator, can work in its optimal band of efficiency in terms of the revs, the revolutions, the air. So when a normal combustion car and you're driving through the gears and you're accelerating through the gear and then it changes gear and the revs drop down, when the revs are always going up and down and out of their optimal range, that's when internal combustion engines are at their least efficient. So at least if you can have one as a generator that works in its most efficient band, you'll use less fuel. And of course, if they can quieten it down, they can make it smaller, they can have all the excitement of an EV, so that instant punch of electricity driving you away from the lights. And of course, it's pretty quiet as well. So there are many benefits to the consumer. Personally, I'd like to see all EVs, but you know my stance on that. I understand why they're very popular, and it looks like they're moving that technology into the luxury Infiniti brand as well. I do suspect that EV technology, the batteries and the motors, will improve so much in such a short time that all of these clever technologies will eventually be made redundant when people realise they can just get a really great EV at a great price. Let's move on to our question of the week, talking of EVs at great prices. Thanks to myev.com for setting this. You can keep your comments coming in. It has been ridiculously popular this time. It's captured imaginations again. And we're asking you this week, would you buy a very high mileage EV? Would you buy a quarter of a million miles or more, a very high mileage EV? I ask that because things like the motor, the electrics, the battery is going to show minimal degradation. But there are things that are on every other car that if you've had a car do 100,000 miles, you had a diesel or a petrol do 100,000 miles, you know, it's not just the engine that wears, it's everything else. It's the brake discs, the brake pads, if they haven't been replaced, or the rotors, as you might call them. It is the suspension parts. Maybe it's the wheel bearings, because they're going to have gone around 250,000 miles worth of times. Or is it worth the risk to get a great price? EVs are proving incredibly resilient. I'd love to know your thoughts. You can email me hello@evnewsdaily.com. Check out Facebook and the YouTube comments as well. Okie doke, time for the endy bit. Thank you to 210 patrons of the show. Patreon is a website that you can support your favourite creators, whether that is songwriting, making music, art, a few things on there that aren't safe for work, but hey, gotta earn money somehow, and people who podcast as well. And you can go on to Patreon, patreon.com/evnewsdaily, if you'd like to support creators, people who give you. It means that I have 210 bosses of this show, and so I'm sure there are times when I report on something on the show that every car manufacturer, you know, isn't massively keen on. But say Ford was a sponsor of this show, and if they were paying thousands of dollars a month, it would impact the editorial. So I love the idea of small creators like me having that ability to have a community as well. I love having 210 people that I can interact with on Patreon. So there are 438 previous shows online for free where you get your podcasts from. If you go to the blog, you'll find it there. If you hit subscribe on your favourite podcast app, maybe it's iTunes or Google or Android or Spotify, then hit subscribe. You get the show automatically, first and free, every single day. If you can take 2 minutes just to leave a little review, it'd be amazing. And there's also an Alexa skill that I've finally fixed, so we update a little 2-minute version of the news onto that as well. It's a free download. One of our listeners in Germany couldn't get it. It looks like I got to learn some stuff about Alexa regions to make sure it's available everywhere. I didn't think it was geo-locked, but I'll look into that. In the meantime, come and say hi on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Just search EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.